Matthew chapter 26. I intended on preaching two messages on this, one this morning, of course, and one this evening. And I just want to say that I do have a lot of appreciation, and I want to thank Ricky for stepping in. I also want everyone to know I didn't just give up on everybody. I didn't just leave and have no intention of coming back or anything. I was over there. I was sick, and I was trying to come over about 15 after, and Haley had talked to Ricky, and they had texted, and she had sent me a message that says, Ricky has something if you would be interested in him doing it if you're not feeling well. And I said, that would be great. And then I heard what he preached on. And I got to say, preaching on the duality of Christ and that Christ is both God in full and man in full, I feel like if I was called in a split second to fill a pulpit, it'd probably be John 3:16 or something like that. So I was especially impressed with what the content of his message was this morning as well. So I do want to thank him. It's a blessing to have him. I believe we have a Sunday school teacher that we should be very thankful and proud of. Proud to the Lord for. And thankful to the Lord for. So I believe we should give thanks to God for providing us with a good teacher. And then also another one that's able to fill in the pulpit in an emergency. And I truly appreciate that this morning. I was at home and I tried to get some rest this afternoon. And I was restless about what had happened this morning. And I was sleeping. And I've already gotten further in my message than I did in what dreams I had this afternoon. I had the worst dream that I was standing before you. And I knew what verse I wanted to preach on. But I couldn't find it in the Bible. And I couldn't announce what verse it was because I didn't remember. So I had to continue to talk like I am now while I'm looking. It was horrible. So I've already gotten further than where I was this afternoon. Matthew chapter 26. I'd like to call your attention to verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane. And he saith unto his disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And then he said unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. And he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep. And he said unto Peter, what, could ye not watch with me in 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again to the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and said to them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. And the Son of Man is betrayed into the hand of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the time and the privilege to be in your house this evening. Lord, I thank you for the good report of the service that we had this morning, that you were in the service and that your will was done. Father, I thank you for the service that we're having thus far this evening. And I thank you, Lord, for the songs that were sung. Thank you for Mark for leading the songs, Lord, and all those in the choir for singing so boldly and singing and proclaiming and praises to you. Thank you, Lord, for that wonderful peace that we sung about that you give us. We thank you, Lord, for the King which we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you so much for the haven of rest that we have in Christ Jesus. Although, Father, we know in our hearts and we know that you didn't patiently wait for us, Father, but you sought us out and you bought us and you redeemed us when you called us according to the time you wanted us. And we're so thankful for that, Lord. Lord, I pray as this message goes out that it would be with clarity of words. But more importantly, Lord, I pray that your Spirit would use these words to draw us closer to you. If anyone here, Father, doesn't know you as Savior, may this very hour be the hour they hear about Christ Jesus. They hear about the only way in which someone can have their sins taken away. And we pray that they would put their faith and trust in you. Father, we pray that all things will exalt the name of Christ Jesus. And it's in His precious name I pray these things. Amen. Matthew chapter 26 is a story we all know and have heard, of course, before Christ is arrested. This is the account in which He was praying to His Father the very night in which He was going to be betrayed by Judas, which He was going to be arrested, and then He was going to be taken into custody, and all that entire night by the Jews, He was going to be tried for blasphemy. And then they were going to give Him over to Caesar, and then Caesar was going to give Him over. And then back to Caesar again. And then he would be scourged and beaten. And all this time, there was no sleep for the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't rest during this period. This all happened in one setting. And he would be beaten. And then even at that point, when presented before the people, beaten, ridiculed, and mocked, it wasn't enough. Because the people commanded what to happen? Crucify him. And at that point, he was taken and he was crucified on a cross for our sins. This is the first sleepless night in which we encounter during this time. The night in which he prays to his Father about the cup he is about to partake of. There's three main illustrations or three main topics I want to draw from this text. We would have been able to talk a lot more about that had covered it over two messages, but I'm a firm believer that the Lord's will was done. I couldn't be here this morning, and I believe that there was a reason why I wasn't here this morning. And there was a reason why Ricky stepped in, and there was a message that he had that it was God's will for you to hear. And then, in the same token, I believe that it was the Lord's will that this message was to be condensed down into one. Maybe that was the reason. Maybe He was sparing you from hearing two messages on this same topic. But three topics I want to glean from this passage. And the first is this. Notice verse 36 at the end of it. Christ says, "Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder." The first lesson we can draw from this is, folks, Christ, the Lord Jesus, was a man of prayer. He was a man of prayer. And in fact, I want to do a quick study. We can go through it very quickly, but keep your place here in Matthew chapter 26 and look over a couple Gospels to the book of Luke. And we're going to start with Luke chapter 3. In Luke chapter 3, I want to begin with verse 21. We're going to look at many passages that just speaks of the importance of prayer to the Lord. Luke 3 and verse 21 says, "Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and what? praying, the heaven was open. Notice chapter 5 of Luke and verse 16. These are short little verses, but they have a tremendous meaning. Luke 5:16 says, "And he withdrew himself into the wilderness." And what did he do there? He prayed. Notice Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. "And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray, and he continued all night in prayer to God." Notice chapter 9. Chapter 9, and notice what it says in verse 28. "And it came to pass about 8 days after these things that he took Peter and John and James." That's the same company he has in our text, isn't it? "He took them into a high mountain, and he went up into a mountain to do what? Pray." This is a great text of Scripture. "When he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment, and he was white and glistening. And behold, there he talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spake." See, this was the transfiguration. This is also found in Matthew 17. But here, Christ prayed and showed them who he truly was. Turn with me to chapter 16 of Luke. Chapter 16 of Luke and verse 12. It says, I've got the wrong verse here, I think. I wrote down the wrong verse. It's here somewhere very close. But let's go on to chapter 22 of Luke. Verse 31 and 32. "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have done what? I have prayed for thee." We can look on in Luke and we can see that it's recorded the same prayers that we have in our text. And we didn't even talk about before our text here and what had happened in an outline or an introduction of background of what has happened. Is this is right after they had partaken of the Lord's Supper for the first time. Right after they had celebrated the Passover with Christ Jesus, it says that they sang a hymn and they departed into the Mount of Olives. When you read that, they departed into the Mount of Olives. Well, when they're praying, they're in Gethsemane, and that's the destination they arrived at before he was betrayed. But in between there, you have a lot of things that take place. In between where they sang that hymn, you have John chapter 13, John chapter 14, John chapter 15, John chapter 16, and John chapter 17. And that whole way that they're walking, the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching them. And he's talking to them. And he's also preparing them for what? For his departure. And he's telling them of how he's going to be betrayed. And how he's going to be crucified. And that he's not going to leave them comfortless, but he is sending forth the Comforter. Do you remember those passages? He talks about sending the Holy Spirit to them. And then he talks to them in chapter 15, and he talks about the fellowship that is needed between them when he says that he is the what? True vine. And how that they need to be connected to the true vine. But then you get to chapter 17 in John, and it's almost as if they're walking on their way, and he stops. And he begins to do something, folks. Do you remember what he does? He prays. and all of John chapter 17, which I believe, and I truly believe, it is the greatest prayer ever recorded. John chapter 17 is the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he prays about what he's about to do. And he prays for the fellowship between him and his Father. And folks, he prays for his disciples that are beside him. And he prays for his disciples who have yet to come, which is you. And then after that great high priestly prayer that you read in John chapter 17, he goes to Gethsemane and he prays again this prayer. Is it fair to say, based on all that we looked at in the context of this, that the Lord Jesus Christ was a man of prayer? He was God and man, as Ricky talked about. But folks, he had fellowship with his Father while he was on this earth by communing with him in prayer. Shouldn't we be the same? If Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only one who has ever walked this earth perfectly and without sin, if he thought it important to pray as much as he did, to leave his disciples alone and go up into a mountain all night and pray, to pray and to teach them to pray, and to walk and talk with him, and they saw him pray, and then to gather to himself and tell them, you watch and pray as I go and pray. If he drew such an importance from prayer, shouldn't his followers do the same thing? And I have to admit to you folks, I struggle from time to time being a man of prayer. And I don't know if you do or not, I hope you don't. But this just tells us over and over again that we need time to set aside to commune with our Father. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16 tells us to boldly come before the throne of grace. We need to take advantage of the privilege that God has given us to come to Him with prayer. You see, it wasn't long ago that you didn't have that privilege. I say it wasn't long ago. Many of you may have been saved a long time, but I want you to understand that you only have the privilege of prayer through the Lord Jesus Christ. And if there was a time in your life where you were not a follower and a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ, which we can all say at one period of time that was true of us, then we did not have the privilege of prayer. So this is where I'm going to come across mean. And I'm going to sound mean and cold and cold-hearted and unsensitive. Or insensitive, whatever that word is. But those that have not looked to Jesus Christ as their sole hope of heaven for the remission of their sins, they do not have access to the Father through prayer. Say, what? Does that mean He doesn't hear their prayers? Let me answer it this way. He is God. He knows everything. And He hears everything. But there is a difference between hearing a prayer and acknowledging a prayer. And folks, those that are without the Lord Jesus Christ, God does not acknowledge their prayers to Him. Does that sound harsh? Yeah, it does. I'll be honest. But folks, I go back to what the Scriptures say. That there is no way to the Father but how? By the Son. In Hebrews, when it says, let us boldly go to the throne of grace, the reason it says boldly is because we have access now. Why do we have access? Because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's the only way we have access to the throne of grace. That's the only way we can approach Him with boldness. Instead of being discouraged by the words that I just said, that those that you love, and you know you may have heard them utter prayers to the Father, instead of being discouraged or upset with me for saying those things, that should give us all more of a call for the gospel message to share Jesus Christ with all of those that we know. Because it's only through Him that they can approach the Father. Well, that took up half our time. That was the first message. Let's do the second message now. I also see, first of all, that Christ Jesus was a man of prayer. Secondly, I see that we and the disciples as great of men as they are but what? Man. Notice what it says here in verse 41 in our text. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. If the Lord Jesus Christ asked you for one night, stay up and pray all night long, do you think you could do it? All of us, yeah, I could do it. No problem. If the Lord audibly requested that of me and it would be important to Him, I would make sure I would do it. Well, folks, I would like to think that. But this passage carries a great lesson that we need to acknowledge and understand too, and that is what? The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I'll be honest to you, it would be a lot easier for me to stay up and exercise or something that's active than it would to stay up and pray all night. Because a lot of times when we pray, what do? We bow our head, we may get on our knees, or we may be laying, or we may be on our knees with our hands like that, and we often do what? We close our eyes. You think around 3 in the morning if you are closing your eyes in prayer to the Lord. You ever done that? I'm going to embarrass everybody. Have you ever been praying and just fallen asleep because it was at night when you had your head on your pillow? I do that. I still do that. Folks, the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I'll give you a good example. We won't spend a lot of time on that. This morning, the Spirit, folks, was willing for me, but the flesh was very weak. And I wanted to be over here in spirit, but I physically wasn't able to be over here. You see, I'm not going to knock these men for falling asleep. Now the Lord comes, and it sounds pretty harsh what the Lord says to him, doesn't it? He says, could you not do it for 1 hour? I asked you to pray all night with me. You couldn't even stay awake an hour. But folks, that's who we are as well. We're no better than they were. And there are many things that the Lord tasks us to do. And we walk out of a church service and we may think, what Brother Kenny said, I'm going to do. Or what Brother Jeremy said, I'm going to do. And we walk out of there on fire for the Lord and the Spirit is willing. And then Monday morning hits us and we completely fall on our faces. Because the flesh, folks, is weak. It's an important lesson to us, I feel like, to in the low times, not to get too low. And in the high times, don't get too high. But in everything, go to prayer and supplication to the Lord and give thanks to the Lord. Last thing I want to draw, and we have around 10 minutes to look at this. And this is what the majority of the time is going to be, but I feel like we can cover it in this time. Is I want to now focus to the main topic of the text, and that is this. the cup that is before the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, what is this cup he speaks of in this prayer? Notice what he says in verse 39. He went a little further and he fell on his face and he prayed saying, "Oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will." Verse 42, "Oh my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." And then in verse 44, he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. He has a tremendous interest and tremendous on his mind, taking up space in his mind and occupying his time about this cup. So much so, that the Bible says in our text, he was exceedingly sorrowful. Now, as a man, in this text, it's important to recognize that the Lord Jesus Christ was fully man, as was talked about this morning. And as fully man, folks, I believe when it says he was exceedingly sorrowful, he was exceedingly sorrowful. It says, even unto death. You read this account in the book of Luke, and of course, that's where we have the text of Scripture that says his sweat drops were as blood. Now, I don't know what that means. There's some that say that there is a physical ailment wherein someone is so filled with sorrow that they can indeed bleed from their glands, and their teardrops can be, and their sweat can be as blood. Truly blood. And I've heard others that say that it was just simply that thick of sweat drops. I don't know what's right and I don't know what's wrong. Does it matter? Does it matter if it's actually physical blood or not? What's really important here is that this was important to the Lord. And he was on the ground and he fell on his face before God and he was praying. And this topic made him exceedingly sorrowful. The cup. What is the cup? Well, if you will keep your place here and turn to John chapter 18 with me. And this is actually the same context and the same text that we are in. Same time frame. So in John chapter 18, we have a little bit more in depth here. Jesus has just prayed this same prayer that we've talked about. But Simon Peter, do you remember Simon Peter's boldness? Do you remember him saying, "Though all others may betray you, I never will"? And that how he would never let him go and die. Well, folks, I believe Simon Peter meant what he said. But yet how weak he was on the other hand as well. Because he couldn't stay up an hour and pray for the Lord. But notice what it says in chapter 18. Let's look at verse 10 here. Okay, somebody glued my pages together. Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then Jesus said unto Peter, "Put up your sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it?" This actually defines to you what the cup is. The cup consisted of him being betrayed into the hands of sinners. The cup consisted of him being judged in a trial and found guilty. The cup consisted of him being beaten and mocked and scourged and ridiculed. The cope consisted of not that being enough, but the people to say, crucify him, crucify him. And ultimately, folks, this is what the cup was. The cup was that the Lord Jesus Christ would be crucified for our sins. It wasn't the pain of the cross that was the cup, but the cup's fullness was this. That in a 3-hour period of time, the Father would turn away himself from his Son and pour all of his wrath upon him. That's the cup. And here you have a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ sweating, exceedingly sorrowful unto death, and saying, Father, if it is possible for this cup, for this thing to pass over me, for me not to have to go through all of this, if it is possible, then let it pass. Then, I don't know what happened between the first and the second prayer, but the second prayer was a little different. The second prayer went a little more like this, Father, if it's not possible for it to pass, then thy will be done. Could you imagine? Let's just think of this real quick. Could you imagine knowing your death date and the way that you're going to die? Don't you think you would be exceedingly sorrowful right before it happened? Don't you think you would be wondering about things and, well, how's this going to come to pass? And if you knew the day of your death, just the date enough, wouldn't that cause a lot of concern in your heart? Folks, the Lord Jesus Christ is God. And He knew that it wasn't going to be but an hour later after this had taken place that He was going to be kissed by Judas to be betrayed. And He knew what events were going to take place. In fact, I want to prove to you that He knew that this was going to happen. Matthew chapter 26, our text. Notice verse 1 of chapter 26. It came to pass when Jesus had finished all these things, He said unto His disciples, you know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be what? Crucified. He knew. And now later on in this chapter, He's praying, if this cup can pass, let it pass. Sounds like He didn't want to partake of the cup, doesn't it? Then why did He do it? We'd sing a song, He could have called 10,000 angels. You know that song? He could have called 10,000 angels. And I've completely blanked on it. To destroy the world and to set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he what? He died alone for you and for me. Folks, the sacrifice that Christ Jesus made, he knew about it. And it was a voluntary sacrifice. But when it came to the time that it was about to happen, he prayed exceedingly sorrowful, if this can pass, let it pass. He did it because he loved his people. He had a people and he loved them. And he partook of that cup. Because listen, this is the if you don't get anything from this message, get this. He partook of that cup because it was the only way. The only way that we could have fellowship with the Father. He partook of the cup because it was the only way that you could be saved. We're starting to go over our time, but this is important. Go with me to Galatians chapter 3.
Galatians chapter 3. I want you to notice this is a very important verse here, verse 21. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. Now I want you to notice, and if you haven't already, underline this next part, because this is very important if you believe in underlining or if you want to. For if there had been a law which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. You know what that means? If there was something that you could do, if there was a law that you could keep or something that you could do that would cause you to be able to be righteous before an almighty and perfect God, then that's the way it would have been. But instead, His only Son came on this earth. And the eve before He partook of that cup, He exceedingly sorrowfully asked, if there's any other way, let it pass. And the heavens rang silent that night. And there was no confirmation. Yes, there's another way. Because there was no other way. He had to partake of the cup. He had to go to the cross. He had to be crucified for our sins. It's the only way for us to have righteousness. Now you can call me a mean guy, and you can call me shallow, and you can call me not open-minded, and you can call me uneducated or whatever the case may be. But when I hear someone say that there are many roads to heaven, and it doesn't matter which one you take. Or I hear someone say, well, we all believe differently, but it doesn't really matter as long as we love God. It's blasphemy to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because He prayed if there was any other way, then let that cup pass. But there is no other way. He is the way. And no man cometh to the Father but by Him. We need to recognize the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ for what it is. The good news that brings salvation to men. And nothing else can do that. Jesus prayed 3 times. If the cup could pass, let it pass. But ultimately, folks, it was the Father's will and His will that He would go upon that cross and die for our sins. And if you're trusting in any other thing to give you access to God, to give you entrance into heaven, to give you fellowship with your loved ones that have gone before you, or whatever the case may be, if you're trusting in any other thing than that cup in which the Lord Jesus Christ partook of, you're sadly mistaken. Because righteousness and salvation is only in Jesus Christ and what He done for us on Calvary. Let's all stand. Thank you all for your attention this evening. Pray the Lord will add His blessings to the service. If you're not here and you want to be saved, you feel free to come and talk to me. I promise I'm not contagious or anything like that. Something I've been dealing with for a while. Unless I've been contagious for about 3 months, you're good. So come up and talk to me if you have any questions or concerns. Maybe you don't know if you're saved or not. You can know. We talked about that a couple weeks ago, didn't we? You can know. But don't leave this building without knowing that you have a place for yourself reserved for you in heaven, by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.